from the teachings of Sri Madhvacharya and the Madhva Sampradaya. When I say we've heard much, I'm not saying that I don't mean that we've heard a lot from his philosophy, but we only just... From when I say from his philosophy, that again, it doesn't mean his idea, because everything he presented was that it's not his idea, but it is reality. But when I say we've heard much, it means that of the content of what we have heard, much of that has been taken from Madhva and his followers. Although there's a lot more to it than that. That is known as tattvavad, or that they are presenting tattva. This is the valuable contribution, that there is definite reality. We've also heard just now, and myself I was also speaking about how the prevailing modern worldview is, and it's not just in the modern world, but it's not that these are new ideas, but it's one of the prevalent forms of rejection of Krishna, which takes various pseudo-intellectual shapes and forms throughout time, is the idea that there's no, you can't really know reality. There are many different ideas. There's many modern Hindu pseudo-intellectuals, they laud the saying "Jato mot toto pot" as the summation of hundreds of years of philosophical thought encapsulated into one small slogan. What Shankara presented and his followers presented in great detail, Paramahamsa Ramakrishna has summarized it all. That there are just many theories and it's all wonderful. And there's no real fixed reality. This is already addressed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in his description of the demoniac mentality. And in my asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. So in my initial unorganized thoughts for a Bhagavad Gita commentary, I've written a lot on this verse. There's no fixed reality. There's no ultimate basis. That means there can't be any ultimate basis of reality, because there is no reality. There is no basis of anything. There cannot be any ultimate controller of the universe. There is no God. Aparaspara sambhutam could be a possible extrapolation of this, could be that everything has come into being simply by chance. There's no definable relation of, ultimately there's no cause, there's no cause and effect interaction. Actually, although it's interesting, although the scientists, they say that everything is observable in terms of cause and effect, but by saying that everything is nothing is truly definable, that we can never really know. What they're saying, that ultimately there is no ultimate cause, because nothing's, there's no ultimate reality. So the modern scientific worldview is another permutation of that idea, that we study cause and effect, but ultimately you can't know. No one can know ultimately. Now we also say that, but in a different way. That no one can know the full extent of the glories of Krishna and how he works, but we don't say that we cannot know doesn't mean that there is nothing to know, that there is no ultimate cause. And then what their philosophy comes down to, kim anyat kama hetukam, and then ultimately what is there left to do but to enjoy this world. And Richard Dawkins, in his God Delusion book, in his refutation of the idea if that everyone becomes an atheist and there's no meaning to life, he said that, well, he was discussing that with some people, and then he said, well, all right, now we're going to go and have a good lunch. And we did, which, you know, means eating some unmentionable things. But that's it, then. What is the purpose? In other words, he's saying the purpose of life is, well, we're here now, so enjoy it while we can. Which is animalistic. The animal has no more philosophy than this. Eat, sleep, drink, be merry, and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. Is the animalistic outlook. Ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha samanyam etat pashubhya naranam. So, to establish that there is reality, that reality is Krishna. There is relative truth also. We are relative in respect to Krishna. But they want to say that Krishna is just some insignificant... What we say is absolute, and Krishna is relative to what we think about him. Everyone meets Krishna, ultimately. At the time of death, the atheist will also meet God. But then it's too late. They'll meet him. Death, mrityu sarvaharas chaham. Krishna, he is... The atheist, he also achieves God realization in the form of death. That for him is the cataclysmic reality, which he is unavoidable. He's death for the atheist is God, because it is totally controlling him. It's irreversible. It's absolute. So when we discuss like this, it may sound, in the categories of the modern way of thinking, this may sound fundamentalist. It may sound like fundamentalist Hare Krishnas, just like fundamentalist Christians or Muslims. This is the Jesus is the only way, the truth and the light, and no one comes to him, no one comes to God but through him. And therefore, we should kill everyone else. So, we don't want to lose Srila Prabhupada's spirit, but we also want to understand what that is. Srila Prabhupada wasn't simply calling people names, demons, rascals, cats and dogs, nonsense. We shouldn't think that we become a bona fide follower of Srila Prabhupada just by calling people demons. But just like Srila Prabhupada said, it's not enough to say that God is great, you have to understand how he is great. It's not enough to call demons demons, we have to understand how they are demons. And Srila Prabhupada explained that. It's not just name calling, or we think we're better than others, we feel psychological satisfaction by calling others fools and rascals and thinking ourselves better. That is not desirable. Rather, we should understand why we have come to this. Otherwise, if we become simply, yeah, we are right, everyone else is wrong, then how are we better than anyone else, who everyone thinks they're right? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada and any acharya, apparently this is, an acharya is defined by this endeavor, to show, to convince others of the reality of Krishna as compared to illusion, half-truths, quarter-truths, to convince others and bring them to the understanding of what is actual reality. In one sense, and this may sound shocking, but from starting from the position of a conditioned soul, our interest is not Krishna. We're not aiming at Krishna. We don't know who is Krishna. First we should try to understand Atato Brahma Jignasa. What is the ultimate reality? What is actual truth? What is the actual nature of being? Even Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita doesn't start off with Krishna, discussing Krishna. He discusses the nature of reality. So to understand, why should we accept Krishna? If we simply accept Krishna, I say Krishna, you say Ganesh, someone else says Sai Baba, someone says Jesus, why should we accept Krishna? It's not sectarian. Why have we come? Because we want to know what is the ultimate reality. Munaya sadhu prishto hambhavadya loka mangalam yad krita Krishna samprashna. Yena atma supraseedati, the rishis at Naimisharanya. They wanted to ask about Krishna, but they'd already been through a lot of hearing. They didn't immediately come to Krishna. Now we're very fortunate. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam nam prapadyate. One may search for the truth, and after many lifetimes come to the understanding of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, he opens his Srimad Bhagavatam, the first philosophical words, or the preface in which he sets the tenor for understanding the Srimad Bhagavatam. He starts by saying that the conception of God and the conception of the Absolute Truth are not on the same level. That people have a conception of God as the supreme controller, and others, but it's not a very defined conception, and there are others who have a conception of an absolute truth, and how these two are, it's not exactly that they're joined together, these two conceptions in Srimad Bhagavatam, but they show how the supreme absolute truth is the supreme personality of Godhead. But from our perspective, we start off with who am I? This was Sanatana Goswami's question. Ke ame? Ke na ame jare ta patroi? These are the beginning questions. In the beginning, if we try to understand Krishna, the personality of Krishna, then that's even beyond our capacity. And if we come to Krishna by good fortune, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving Krishna, but then that has to be understood properly. Why Krishna? Otherwise, again, you could be, why Krishna? Why not Kali? Why not anyone? Why Krishna in particular? Well, I like someone, all right, you like Krishna, and someone else likes Sai Baba, and that's modern Hinduism, isn't it? Okay, that's all right. You like Hinduism. I like Sai Baba. They're all the same anyway. It's whatever God you want to believe in, or they have no clear understanding. So the Vedic adventure, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes refers to it, begins with the question, who am I? Why am I suffering in the world? What is the ultimate nature of reality? If we are fortunate to come to Krishna, even out of sentiment, but still, we should understand the basis of that. Otherwise, sentiment will not stand long, and it is certain to be corrupted, because sentiment means there is no clear understanding. We are influenced by our preferences, and our preference, unless that is completely pure, which being in the material world, by definition, we're not completely pure. That means our own personal desire. And therefore, out of sentiment, we take Krishna to be the object of our enjoyment. And therefore, we get... Just like the Prakriti Sahajiyas in Bengal, where there's a very strong culture of Krishna consciousness, but the whole idea is how we shall enjoy it. They'll go to some kirtan performance and people will say, oh, ba, ki ananda, how enjoyable. But that is meant to be for Krishna's pleasure. They don't really understand that. They think that, well, bhakti is enjoyable, and then eating fish is also enjoyable, so that we can also enjoy. It's all the grace of God. So no clear idea, and no desire to have a clear idea also. So this kind of discussion is required that we've been having over the last few days. It should be not just for a few days, but it should be our whole lives we continue like this. And it may not be that everyone comes to this level of discussion. We can't when we say level of discussion, we don't want to start thinking that we're superior to others or any such thing. But we see in Krishna's division, there are brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. There are different classes of people within human society. Especially the vaishyas and shudras, they're not expected to be highly philosophical, nor the women also. But the society, Srila Prabhupada referred to Vedic culture, often referred to it as brahminical culture. That means it's led by the brahmanas. In the Vedic culture, there is respect for the brahmanas. And not just by culture, but for they're demonstrable benefits to human society, that they could, by orchestrating the yajnas, the human society would benefit. And so brahmanas, although not many, they were highly learned and able to, and others tended to accept the direction that they gave. Also by their Brahmana is supposed to be ideal in his behavior. Kam, krodh, lobh, the three gates to hell are supposed to be conspicuous by their absence in Brahmanas. Although we find in Vedic history, or in the Puranas and in the Shastra, that some Brahmanas are also capable of anger. But that right, when Krishna says lust, greed and anger, the three gates leading to hell, righteous anger, that is not included. But anger due to the frustration of one's personal sense gratificatory desires, that is the anger that is indicated. So, Srila Prabhupada many times said that his first endeavor in the Krishna conscious realm was to establish brahmanas in society. He said 50% of my work is not done, because the first part, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, writing and getting widely distributed his books, but part of that, the first part he wanted was that to create a society of brahmanas. And the temples especially are meant for brahmanas, people who are deeply, who live according to philosophical principles, who are shabde parecha nishna tam brahmanyu pashama shrayam. Every brahman is supposed to be a guru who is deeply, the term is immersed in Vedic sound and completely taken shelter of Krishna by his behavior. He doesn't have any other interest. So such persons can lead the society. Srila Prabhupada's awarding of Brahminical initiation, what we call Brahminical initiation, what Srila Prabhupada called Brahminical initiation, he said that doesn't have to be for everyone, but especially those it doesn't have to be for everyone within our Krishna conscious society, but persons who are actually leading the society by their knowledge, by their detachment, by their example. So it may not be that everyone, even in our movement, they are Brahmins. We can't expect that. And it's not even that someone who is very sincerely serving Krishna by some service other than deep study of and propagation of Shastra, that they're lesser than someone who does so. But the persons who are deeply knowledgeable about all these principles and who can establish them and defend them from the onslaught of atheists, as Prabhupada also says in that preface, Srimad Bhagavatam, by study that will defend one from the onslaught of atheists. They should be the leaders of society, and actually Krishna conscious society, even though everyone may not be deeply philosophical in the sense that everyone knows all the intricacies of various arguments and understandings and many verses and so on, but everyone has a philosophical view of life, which was inculcated, and until recently, the Vedic culture, that people would they wouldn't work hard all day, but everyone every day would hear at least for some time Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam. They would hear from Brahmanas the Shastra, or maybe Puranas, Itihas, and in this way imbibe the teachings of the Shastra without themselves being so very deeply learned. So that even an uneducated person in India who can't read and write, that's considered education in the modern age, although originally education, reading and writing is for less intelligent people, actually. That's a concession for Kali Yuga. It's not that reading and writing wasn't there before, it may have been there also, because sending letters, for instance, but it became the prevalent means of recording knowledge in Kali Yuga. So even the uneducated farmer in India was far more knowledgeable about the actually important purposes of life than the professor in a big sophisticated university in the West. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out, when he was walking in Vrindavan with some of his disciples, and a farmer came over to offer obeisance to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada pointed out, you see, he's an uneducated farmer. He doesn't know how to read and write, but he knows more than the professors in the universities in the West. So this farmer, he knows that here is a saintly person, I should offer obeisance to him. He knows that there is a God. I am in my present situation due to my previous activities in previous lives. He has so much high knowledge. He has so much philosophical knowledge, and he knows that what I do in this life affects my future. So this is high philosophical knowledge. Srila Prabhupada spent so much effort to try to convince people, to get them to understand this very basic point, that we are not the body, but that we are going from body to body to body. But for all their intellectual sophistication, supposedly, most people in the West who Srila Prabhupada spoke to about this, they couldn't get it, they couldn't understand it. So, our movement should be following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, in as much as he was, in all ways, he was constantly speaking, or we could say continually speaking, constantly is also okay, about this, giving this knowledge. We should also try to create an ethos of this. If we do not do so, then the vacuum will be filled by nonsense. That is inevitable. Unless there is sense, there is nonsense. It's inevitable. Krishna Surja Shama Maya Hoy Andhaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. Where there's Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. Where there's the sunlight, there's no question of darkness. And when there's not sunlight, there must be darkness. So if there's not actual understanding of Krishna consciousness, then there must be darkness. There must be Maya. So unless an endeavor is there to understand all these points, then Maya must come. And understand again and again, we have to emphasize that understand, it doesn't mean simply through an intellectual method. It means that one has to imbibe a completely different, not when I say not intellectual, I don't mean simply by an intellectual method. This knowledge is revealed to those who are tachchadidhana muniyo, those who Prabhupada translates this as the seriously inquisitive student or sage, those who are very serious to come to Krishna consciousness, who put that above their personal comfort or their personal desires, aims, ambitions, hopes, who are materially exhausted, who are not thinking how we can be happy in this world or making plans for themselves or others to be happy in this world. No one can actually understand Krishna consciousness or be Krishna conscious if he's making plans for himself or even for others to be happy in this world. If you think first I have to settle my family, they will be very comfortable. Of course a householder has some duty, but not that he dedicates his whole life, that my family will be comfortable and then I may think of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada criticized, he said there's one rich man who is endeavoring so hard, he wanted to give, he had so many children because he had several wives, and he wanted to give his ambition, he told Prabhupada, was to give all of his offspring, his descendants and grandchildren, all of them 2 lakhs, which in those days was a lot of money. And this was the one who, when he was dying, said to the doctor, you give me 4 more years, I have so many plans to fulfill. Srila Prabhupada also criticized the mentality of rich men who came to live in Vrindavan, retired to live in Vrindavan and live very simply, but they left all the money with their family members. He said, why not use the money? See, oh, the money is for my family and the bhakti is for Krishna. So Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, he, as a genuine acharya, It wasn't that he was just some, let me say that first. Srila Prabhupada wasn't fanatical. Now, it may seem like that, if we've just been hearing some quotes, if we perceive Srila Prabhupada from the perspective of a normal, reasonable, nice, well-balanced, well-adjusted person of the modern material world, then it would seem that Srila Prabhupada is a fanatic. The problem is that the normal, well-adjusted, well-balanced, mature person of the modern world is going to hell. And Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna. So this idea of being well-adjusted, well-balanced, mature, etc., 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 is just another hoax of Maya, so that we all live very politely. We all politely compliment each other as we enthuse each other to go to hell together with each other. So, whereas as Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a boy flying a kite on the edge of the roof. He's not looking, he's going to fall down. And he said, excuse me, I don't want to bother you, but you're in danger there, you could fall. He's just about to fall off, and they're just very polite to him. He's going to fall off the edge. Look out, you fool! Why are you calling me a fool? I'm just flying my kite. I'm not doing anyone any harm. He's about to fall off the edge. So if you say to him politely, he won't listen. So you have to get heavy with it, shout, and try and wake him up to his plight, which will cause not only himself trouble but others also. But if you warn him in the way that is best for him, he will say that you're being a fanatic. Why are you getting so upset? You say, I'm just flying my kite. I'm not doing anyone any harm. So it really requires a change of worldview. This is required. It's the bane of what we might call religious organizations. It's inevitable. Any great teacher comes, even Krishna, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then by his delineation of reality, people come to him. By his spiritual prowess, so many people come to him. But then within his own manifest appearance, his lifetime, or very shortly afterwards, people who are supposed to be his followers change his message to adjust it back to the same old Maya. Which is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I can't remember the exact words, but he says that the atheists, the most prominent place for the atheists is the pulpits. In other words, the church, the organized churches of the world, they are the best shelters of atheism. It's typical Bhaktisiddhanta. He's just showing how one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's contributions was his style of showing how everything we think is right is completely wrong. So it's a fact that it happened to Jesus. I'm not up with Mohammedan history, but someone comes and as Prabhupada pointed out, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, none of them taught this eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy business. They all pointed out that this material world is miserable. We don't belong here. We belong to a different plane. But their followers, they change that. They change it and they take what they want of the teachings, leave out what they don't want, and adjust the teachings to what they want it to be. And they end up with some rituals And they just go on with sense gratification, that's all. Maybe they're a little more moral in some ways than others. But the call, Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya, Varani Bodhata, wake up, become aware of the boon that is available in human life. This urgent call to come out of this material world and the materialistic way of thinking. They may even recite it in their schools or their assemblies. Yeah. Ooh, they'll recite. They'll maybe even give the teachings. But in such a way that they compromise. And a social stigma is just like all these teachers who in the time of their presence they go against everything, the whole materialistic society. So anyone who tries to follow them, they're also stigmatized. And the supposed followers of any great actual teacher of the world, they'll love to recite stories. Just like now we like to hear Prabhupada's stories. We love to hear stories of how Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada did this and that. But if you actually want to follow that, that won't be appreciated at all. Just the story is there, and you hear it, and you say, he was so great, and that's the end of it, that's all. But Srila Prabhupada criticized the Christians that they're not following Christ. He said this is their fault, that they're not following him. So one of Christ's sayings, or supposed to be sayings, we're not sure what he actually said, but he said, if you want to follow me, you have to pick up the cross. Be like me. So it's not easy. If we want to be peaceful in this material world, that in itself is a wrong desire. But we cannot be in Krishna consciousness. It is by nature. It's not that we say, well, Srila Prabhupada is revolutionary, but it is by nature. Krishna conscious, to be Krishna conscious means that you must go against the tide of the whole world. You cannot be in Krishna consciousness. There cannot be a truce with materialistic society that, okay, we'll appreciate you and you appreciate us. But if we're actually Krishna conscious, then the materialistic people will never appreciate it. And if we at all appreciate materialistic society, then we're not in Krishna consciousness. It is by its very nature. To take to Krishna consciousness means to declare war on Maya, individually and as is socially also. So that again, that this should be understood in context. That doesn't mean we're going to go out and start blowing up, putting bombs in the train stations. That's not what it means. Well, yeah, but we have a different kind of bomb. Prabhupada's books, the spiritual bomb, the bomb of transcendental knowledge. These bombs we should put. These are much more powerful bombs than anything any scientist can invent. So, this is our mission, and we want to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas by carrying on this mission. So this immersion in Krishna conscious understanding, that is required by constant hearing. So thank you all for attending. Thank you especially to Vidwan Gauranga Prabhu for making the long journey from the spiritual world to come to this materialistic place, came from Mayapur, the spiritual world, to give us some insights into the vast treasure house of Vaishnava understanding. Of course, some might say, well, that's not... A lot of what he said wasn't from Prabhupada's books. I don't think anyone would criticize like that nowadays, because unfortunately people don't put much enough emphasis on Prabhupada's books. But what he said was not... It certainly wasn't against anything that Srila Prabhupada has presented, and Srila Prabhupada himself wanted that devotees study the commentaries of previous acharyas, and by doing so, again, it may not be that everyone does this, by doing so, then we can understand that if we do so in the proper spirit, we can it'll help us to appreciate even more what is the contribution of Srila Prabhupada in presenting all these teachings. The kernel of the teachings of all the previous acharyas, and although in our day-to-day preaching activities we may not need to go into such detail, certainly at some point and among some people that will be required, because all the challenges will come up in due course of time, and they're already doing so. So yeah, this is required, and we want to continue this. Krishna consciousness is not light. Yeah, any question, comment? Anything? No? No.
You were saying now, to wake somebody up when they're off a cliff and they're about to fly at height,
yeah,
distracted, and they're about to fall, and you call out, "Wake up! Look out!"
Uh-huh.
And they become disturbed. Sometimes it may turn somebody off.
You may turn someone off by calling out loudly. I mean, yeah, we've heard all these objections many, many times. We're talking about general principles here. It's not that every time you have to call someone a fool, but it's stating a general principle. And in the name of not turning people off, it's not that we completely abandon the process given by, or the methodology given by Krishna and our acharyas of speaking clearly and strongly. Preaching clearly and strongly, definitely there's a risk we're likely to turn people off. And actually, if we are preaching clearly and strongly, one of the tests that we are preaching clearly and strongly is that many people will be turned off. If we present Krishna consciousness as something which people, we adjust it a little bit, so that it's more in line with their mistaken sense gratificatory ideas, we may get many people who appreciate it. And we say, oh, now so many people appreciate Krishna consciousness. But they're not actually appreciating Krishna consciousness. They're appreciating the misrepresentation of Krishna consciousness, which is in line with their mistaken sense gratificatory ideas. So if we actually present the reality as it is, one of the signs of that is that many people will be turned off. That will be one sign that we're on track, actually. As Prabhupada noted in one purport in discussing about Chankazi, he said, nowadays also there are so many people who are against our movement, which shows that we're doing the right thing. So now that people are not against our movement nowadays, is not necessarily that people have become more favorable to it, right? Or it may also be that we are no longer preaching the truth as we did vigorously previously. So it's not that, again, it's not necessarily that we don't deliberately try to make enemies. That's also foolish. But at the same time, why should we tolerate when people are... There's so much propaganda of untruth. The whole world is full of propaganda of untruth. And why should we tolerate that? We should. Prabhupada himself said we should go all over the world and make big propaganda on two points. One thing about for the scientists, he said, one thing, you never went to the moon. And another thing is that the chicken is a better scientist than you. Because you say that you will produce life in future, and the chicken produces an egg every day. Produces life. So this was Prabhupada's preaching style. You may say, well, that sounds like childish to tell them they didn't go to the moon and the chicken's a better scientist than you. But Prabhupada was serious about it. So this idea that we shouldn't upset anyone, I don't follow that. I don't agree with that at all. You can't preach if your main concern is not to upset anyone. You cannot preach Krishna consciousness. Not possible. You can't preach anything. You can't preach communism. You can't preach anything, because whatever you preach, someone's going to object to it. Then just sit in a corner and do nothing. And if you do that, someone will criticize you also. So, whatever you do, it's the story of the man and the donkey, right? The man is going on a donkey with his son walking beside him, and someone saw them and criticized that. Why, you see, your young boy, you're making him walk, So the man got off the donkey and put his son on the donkey. And they went on a little further. And someone said, look, you see, the young boy, he's not respecting his father. Then why is the son riding and not the father? So then the man took both of them off the donkey, and then they were both walking with the donkey. And someone said, look, you're so stupid. You got a donkey and you're not riding it. So then they both got on the donkey. And then someone else said, look, the poor donkey, there's two people riding on it. So the possible four combination, someone criticizes it. So if you want to avoid, it's not possible to avoid criticism in this world, but it's better to be criticized for doing that which is proper and good and for the benefit of everyone. Anyway, you're going to get criticized. Yeah. Yeah. Maricha. Better to be killed by Ram than killed by Ravana. When Ravana said, now you go and make yourself into a golden deer. Maricha said that, well, if I do that, I'll be killed by Ram. And if I don't do it, you'll kill me now. So better be killed by him than killed by you, you rascal. better be killed by Ram.
How do we know where to draw the line between gaining knowledge and answer objections and others
How do we know how to draw the line between gaining knowledge to counteract wrong ideas and compromising our own Krishna consciousness? In other words, we study something, but then instead of understanding the faults in it so that we can expose it, we ourselves become converted. Therefore, we should do everything under the guidance of superior authorities. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember exactly. It's worth memorizing, but he's saying that the most prominent place. Reason why we should not join ISKCON. Well, but he himself, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, set up such a movement. So you could call it a necessary evil, if you like. An organization for When there's an organization, there's property, money, power, and people interested in these kinds of things will come to it and take power. And persons who are interested in the essence, they're not interested in money, power, position. So they won't have the money, power, and position. So it's practically inevitable that any religious organization will be dominated by the wrong kind of people. On the other hand, if you don't have such an organization, then how will you preach Krishna consciousness? So there should be some checks and balances, which Srila Prabhupada put in order, but they may not always work, or those who get in power manage to diffuse the checks and balances. Srila Prabhupada's, he was asked this actually by George Harrison, that how will the leaders in future remain on course and not be corrupted? And Prabhupada said they should chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulated principles. And Prabhupada, he often added to that in his letters. He repeated this again and again and again in his letters. Often devotees come to me and ask for some special instruction. Well, the instructions we have are special. Chant 16 rounds, follow four regulated principles, rise early, attend Mangalati, study the books. Prabhupada said that this will keep us pure. I believe there are also rules, GBC rules, and that GBC members and temple presidents, they should visibly chant 16 rounds, attend the morning programs, although they're not enforced. That was Prabhupada's formula for keeping the purity. So, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.